Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Deontay Garrett, also known as Big Sir, here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation. We want to be the voice for the community and the prisoner. We seek to stay up to date with information to share with those behind bars and the loved ones who care for them. Another Chance aims to be the bridge that keeps both parties unified. We must never neglect the prisoners of our country or forget to encourage the families in our communities that are impacted by the removal of said loved ones from their free world. We will do our absolute best to keep you all informed during this time. More than anything, may we stay in prayer that this too shall pass. And with that being said, let us open up with a word of prayer. Father God, so grateful for you. Man, you have done great work, definitely in my life this week, but I'm sure in so many others. I pray that you continue to control as you do, Father God, and that we continue to trust as we should. We love you, and we thank you so much for your guidance in our life, Father, and that we just continue to call on you. You are our provider. You are our protector, Lord. We are so grateful for you and grateful for another opportunity to come here on behalf of Another Chance. Be with our prisoners, Father God. Be with our families, Lord. Be with those who have the coronavirus, those people who are struggling with it. Nicole, who's been on our show, Father God, a friend of mine just found out his mother had it, Lord. Be with them, Father God. Grant them healing, Father God, and not healing, grant them peace during this time. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, how y'all doing? It has been a very up and down week for myself, to say the least. But overall, I think God has really been with me and teaching me some things this week for sure. Be in prayer for my brother. Like I said, he's in prison right now. Found out that a inmate in his block did come down with the coronavirus, which would mean that it's a possibility that my brother may have it or end up with it. As far as now, he hasn't been tested. That guy was removed, so that's good. But how long he was there with it, how he got it, that's unclear. So once again, just keep him in your prayers. And yeah, I just found out a friend of mine and his mother has come down with the coronavirus. He's in St. Louis, and I just want to pray for him and lift up his family. Nicole, she has been on our show a few times. She came down with it, which, interesting enough, our last show she was saying that they were all on lockdown. She was doing a little coughing and sneezing and stuff like that. So, she actually had the coronavirus. So definitely lift her up in prayer and her family as well. A lot of people still are struggling with this. So as we do open back up as a country, I definitely pray that people are aware that they need to be safe and wear your mask, which from what we found out, the mask is more so to protect you from spreading it. So definitely, if you feel like you're sick, I would rather you stay in the house. But if you feel like you still got to go out, please be sure to put your mask on and to make sure you're not coughing and sneezing on people. Be sure to glove up to make sure you're not spreading the disease. But I am excited that things are starting to open up, but I'm definitely still well aware that this disease is out there and that it is causing some havoc amongst people I know for sure, but I'm sure people you guys know as well. So just definitely be aware that though things are opening up, it's a time to not let your guard down. A guy told me not too long ago, he said, when you're at your strongest, you're actually at your weakest because you let your guard down and that's when stuff starts to happen. So always be aware of your surroundings. Make sure you're being safe out there as they open things up. I am excited that the weather's getting nice and they're opening things up. But just be aware that the virus is still out there. Definitely take care of yourself. Take care of your immune system. So just a thought. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. And how are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm well. I'm blessed. I cannot complain. It's Kenji, right?
This is Kenji. Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. How's your week, man?
My week was pretty good. Thank you for asking. You know, very good. No complaints. And how about yourself?
It was a little rough to start off with, but, man, it definitely finished well. And so I'm in a very good mood now. I couldn't sleep at the beginning of the week, which kind of led to a lot of stress and of me being upset. But now, you know, I'm sleeping well, and so I can't complain. I'm in a good mood.
That's good. That's very good. I'm glad to hear that.
So you wanted to talk more about the financial legacy piece that you were getting on last time we spoke, correct?
That is correct.
So, man, just take the floor. If you say anything that kind of provokes a question, I'll definitely be asked a few just to keep the conversation rolling. But I just want you to kind of lead it off to see so I don't kind of deter you from the way you want it to go.
Okay, not a problem. Thank you very much.
Yes,
so when you're thinking about building legacies are built over generations. It's generational wealth. If you think about some of the people that you may know that are famous, they are, you've heard them called, you heard of them before, they were called trust fund babies. Paris Hilton
mm-hmm.
would be an example of a famous one. She has no real job. She's not making any money really on her own, but she has a trust fund that she can build off of. That's her grandfather, okay? Hilton started the hotel chain, and he invested his money smart. He made an estate. He created a trust that the children and the grandchildren, Paris Hilton being one of them, are all living off of now. So with smart financial decisions that were made by our seniors, that help us live now. So what we are doing, what I'm trying to do, one of the things that I instruct upon is how do you build generational wealth? And you usually, that type of estate building, that type of trust building is a four-generation process. Not the first generation, it's a four-generation. So one of the first things you want to find out is, well, what generation am I in? And when you look at that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just ad-libbing almost, but, you know, I'm trying to figure out what generation I'm in.
Okay, but we're going to figure it all out now. So the business of you will be the first two generations. And that's when you are the first generation, generation one, is creating a life. So we want to think back. You want to like, okay, well, what does he mean by creating a life? But before I get into that, what I would like to do is I want to discuss other people, how they paved the way before I discuss our generational wealth. And so you look at Jesse Owens. He won the Olympics right before the start of World War II. Hitler hadn't declared war on the world yet. He won the Olympics. For his achievement, Adidas gave him a pair of running sneakers. But that was the first time an African-American athlete received any type of endorsement. Now, let's fast forward about 40, 50 years. Julius Erving, Dr. J, I'm dating myself, but if there's any basketball fanatics out there, you might have heard of him. Dr. J, he received endorsements. He made about $1 million in endorsements. But the reason why he's famous is he was the first NBA player, African-American, to ever receive an endorsement that was substantial. Let's move forward. Michael Jordan, he received all types of endorsements. He's a millionaire. He became a billionaire off of it. So generation one would have been Jesse Owens, generation two, Julius Erving, generation Michael Jordan, that's in the business of us, generation four is the king, LeBron James. LeBron James is holding it down. The guy's a multimillionaire. He's practically a billionaire. He's giving back, and he is now teaching those coming up behind him. He's giving back to the community. He's setting up schools, setting up charter schools, setting up basketball camps. He's giving back to help everybody else achieve the dream that he achieved if they have it in him. And that's what you do. So we use Paris Hilton first because we all know that she's associated with money. But now let's bring it over to the other folks and how do we set it up? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. So now we have to look at ourselves. So how do we do that now? How do I do that when I do that financially? Well, if we go back to Jesse Owens, he just had to do it himself. He had nobody to help him. He did it. That's creating a life. You have to create your life. What is your education level? What is your skill level? Where are you at in your life? Do you have a career or do you have a job? And it's none of it's a bad thing, but you have to properly place yourself. So we're going to pretend that we're going to be on the generation one, and we'll call our grandparents from generation one. They had to overcome all types of adversity. Generation two would have been our parents. So our parents, I'm going to date myself. I'm in my 50s. So my parents were born in the 1940s. So they were around in the 1960s. That's when I was born. So they were part of that generation now where it's like, okay, you had the civil rights movement, you had the voting rights, you had all types of things that were taking place in the 60s, and they had to make sure that they were able to build not the life, because the parents already created the life for them, but now they had to build some type of liberty. Okay, here's how we're going to set this up. We already know how we have to live, so now we're going to try to make sure we chase that American dream. We're going to try to make sure we can get out of the project, just move into an apartment or a condo or a house, like the Jeffersons. We're moving on up. That's your generation two, moving on up. Generation three is when you finally have financial independence. Now, financial independence means you have your money working for you. If you're collecting a paycheck every week, you're collecting a paycheck every month, you don't have any money in savings, any real money in savings. If you don't have 6 months of salary and savings, 6 months of bills and savings, that's what you need to build up to, okay? That's becoming financially independent, where your money is making more money for you instead of you just putting the money out. You have your money making money for you. The final step in generational wealth, so that would be me. Not saying that I'm doing that. I'm not that fortunate, but I understand it, and I'm getting there. I'm learning how to make my money work for me. I do this now to the fourth generation, the children, now have the legacy. So how do you do that? You do that by making sure, as I told you with generation three, we learn how to make our money work harder for us so generation four can work upon the legacy. So that's now my children, if I do things right, will be the trust fund babies.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how to create that legacy and allow the legacy to continue to grow. They will, in turn, continue to fund the trust fund, have that money working hard for them, and they will do it through their earnings and stuff like that, but they'll make sure that they're leaving a legacy for their children, and their children leave a legacy for their children. And that's how you create that legacy. Once you get to the legacy, then you continue to create it. So you just have to ask yourself, where am I at? Am I trying to get a life? That's where I'm like just working for the man, so to speak. Am I at the second part where I'm moving up? You know, I got myself out of my apartment. I got myself out the hood. And now I got myself a little burb, a little thing in the suburb. Or am I at the point now, because if I'm at the suburb part, the generation two, I need to be getting to that part now where I'm learning how to make my money work for me and then finally create that legacy. It sounds simple, but it's a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of knowledge. But not knowledge in you have to acquire that knowledge, but the knowledge of knowing to get the right people to work for you. Show me what I need to know. I can't be a doctor. Go to the doctor. I'm the finance planner. Let me do your finances for you. Go see the doctor for the doctor. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So in a local setting,
who do we go to? I guess you can do it through mobile. Can people just contact you directly, or is there like a common place that people go to get their finances kind of worked out?
So what I've seen happening a lot of times we'll, like, I'm looking at the stimulus checks. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
And they almost had a ride on the bank. It was, I forgot what bank it was in, but it was one of those places like H&R Block. So they had a bank. I think it was called, not Citibank, the bank. They called themselves City Finance. It was very similar to Citibank. And anyway, they had to have the cops come there at the beginning of the week because everybody was looking for this stimulus check that they were supposed to receive. But because they went to this particular bank, the well, let me slow it down. Let me help the listeners understand. So if you get your taxes done at a place like H&R Block and they tell you, listen, we'll do your taxes. We're going to pay you the money right up front. We'll give you the money right away so you don't have to wait for the taxes to be returned. What they're doing is you're signing off on your check, allowing them, the company, to collect the check. They give you the money out their own pocket. So that's how, when you don't understand how to do your finances properly, that's what you're doing. I want to get my money right away, so I go down to the tax guy on the corner. The tax guy on the corner, he does your taxes for you. He's going into his own pocket. Here's how much you're going to get back. You're supposed to get back $5,000. Here's your $5,000, but they are going to get your return. They're actually getting your tax return because you signed your tax return over to them. So now we fast forward. We're into this year. What happened is when the government sent the checks out, they sent it to the address that the people gave. The address the people gave, not knowing that they gave it, was the tax guy on the corner. So they're like, yo, how come he has my money? I need my money. Understand?
Yeah.
So what we have to do is we have to make sure that we become smarter. So what you want to do first is when you get your taxes done, I'm not saying not to go to H&R Block. I'm not saying not go to the tax guy on the corner. What I'm saying is you want to go to somebody who's always there. Go to a certified financial, a certified accountant, a CPA. You want to go to a licensed CPA because they are always there. By going to a licensed CPA to have them do your taxes, you are making sure, A, you're getting all your money back that you can get because a licensed CPA is going to make sure they get all the money for you. H&R Block, you do a two-week course and then you're doing taxes. That's not how the tax laws work. You go to the CPA, every year they have to take recertification courses. They have to get qualified. They have to make sure they know the laws. Does the law change? You want to go to a CPA because that person is going to watch your taxes. He's going to watch your money or she's going to watch your money and make sure that your money is being properly allocated. It's too easy to just all just do the 1040 EZ as opposed to let me do the long form because by doing 1040 EZ, you're throwing away money. By doing the long form, i.e. getting a tax, getting a CPA to do your taxes, pay them their fee. Their fee is a tax write-off for you, but now you'll get a lot more money back. So the first step is make sure you put your money in the right person's hands. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I answer the question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, outstanding.
Wow.
So if somebody wants to, so what somebody wants to do, yeah, you reach out to me. You can reach out to me. My name, yeah, as you know, is Kenji Harper, and you can email at kharper02@ft.newyorklife.com. But I don't do taxes. You need to see a tax guy.
Yeah.
Okay. What I do is from step two, generation two, step three, generation three, step four, generation four. That's what I do. So you already found that you're not in generation one. You're in generation two. So what? Me and my wife, me and my spouse, me and my husband, me and my significant other, we got something going on. We got a little nice thing. We went for ourselves. That's a little the townhouse and bought ourselves a house. You're in generation two. Call me. We need to talk because I'm going to show you how you can leave generation two and set it up for generation three. Let's get you from two to three. We need to talk. If you know that you're already at step three, I already have a thing. I have 4 months of my expenses saved in the bank. I have 6 months of expenses saved in the bank. Then we need to talk. Let me show you how to go from step three to step four.
You're breaking up a little bit, Kenji. Did you switch over your audio?
Oh, wow. I did not. It's probably bad reception on my part. Can you hear me better now?
A little bit better.
Okay. Did you repeat anything, or was everything clear?
I would go back to, you said you don't do taxes. That's when it kind of started breaking up.
Right. I am not a tax professional. So the information I gave is informational only. I explained to your listeners what is typically done when you
you cut all the way out that time. Kenji, you there? Kenji dropped. He dropped the call. He made call back on. Let me see. Hello? Hello?
Hi, yes. I'm sorry. My phone cut off. I apologize.
Okay. All good.
Okay. What I was saying was I'm not a tax consultant. I just give suggestions for your listeners. They need to speak to a licensed tax professional when it comes to how to best handle their taxes. The scenario that I explained about what happened is what typically happens when you go to those type of operations. So if you have tax questions, I'm not the person that you want to get in touch with. If you are a Generation 2, a Generation 3, a Generation 4 individual, you need to be speaking to me. And most people are. They just don't realize it. You know,
can you break those down once again for everybody, 2, 3, and 4?
Sure. So Generation 2 is you're starting to build a lifestyle for yourself. Generation 2 is I have a job, I'm with my wife, I'm with my husband, I'm with my significant other, we have our children, we're raising our family, and we're relatively happy. We're living the quote-unquote American dream, okay? Doesn't mean you have to have a house. It could be a condo. It could be a townhouse. But you've moved yourself out of the pain, that rent, that day-to-day grind. You have 6 months of savings, or four to six months of savings in the bank, safely stored, that you can get to, your emergency fund. You're Generation 2. Generation 3 is that person now that he's like, okay, I'm good. Now my money's working for me. I don't only have 6 months of savings. I have my money invested. I have a 401k, an IRA. I have investments in securities and treasuries and stocks and bonds. You're a Generation 3 person. And a lot of us don't even realize that we're there. But if you have any of your listeners or if they're family members, if they have a municipal job or if they're working for a company where they provide a 401k, or they get a pension, or they have shares in the stock. You work for something like Amazon, they give you stock shares, and that's just one company out of a whole lot of them. If you're working for Starbucks, they allow you to get stock shares. So if you're working for one of the larger companies or corporation, or you are fortunate and you're working for a municipality and you have a job that is giving you a pension, you are Generation 2 or 3, depending on how well you're saving. Generally, I like to say my Generation 3 people have the investments. My Generation 2 people are learning how to save. My Generation 3 people are the ones who already have the investments. Your Generation 4, those are your Bill Gates. Those are your Bezos. Those are your Mark Cubans. Those are your Generation 4 folks. But that doesn't mean that you can't get there, because if you're already in 3, I can show you how to get the 4, and it's not that difficult.
Okay. So So for people, just kind of, I guess, a practical question, because you mentioned stimulus checks earlier. What should people be doing with those checks if they're getting them? Saving? I know some people are already blowing them. Like, what's the mindset when I get a stimulus check?
Everyone has their own individual situation. You know, if you was unfortunate and you lost your job, then you need to hold on to that check. You need to be negotiating with all your creditors. You know, whatever credit card debts you have, and hold off. If you own a house, don't pay that mortgage yet. The banks are going to give you a break. They ain't throwing you out. It takes almost a year to throw you out your house. You can skip a mortgage payment and be okay. You know, if you are fortunate and you're just staying at home but you're receiving a check from your job, then that check should be invested. You definitely want to – that check needs to be invested, but in a investment that's going to grow for you.
Yeah.
So I definitely would not that, if you can't afford to save it, save it. If you can't, then be smart on how you spend it. But if you're fortunate enough to still be working and or still receiving a paycheck, if you're fortunate like that and you receive the stimulus check, that check needs to be immediately invested, but not in stocks. You want to invest it in something that's going to be safe.
And I think you mentioned last time that being more so life insurance.
Life insurance is the foundation that you want to start building your legacy on, yes.
Okay.
And the reason why you start building your legacy on life insurance is, I mean, this will be a whole new topic, meaning it takes more than just 10 minutes to explain it. But life insurance, when properly used, you get allocated for more than just life. It's not just about living. People think life insurance is, oh, okay, if I die, then my family gets money. Well, that's true. But life insurance can be used for so many other things. Life insurance is one of the financial vehicles that I use when we set up our legacies. So, and I'll just give a quick example. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We got about a minute 57. The timer was short on us today, so maybe we can talk about life insurance next round.
Yeah, life insurance would be excellent one to do it. Legacies are built off of life insurance, so.
Be great. Kenji, I appreciate you, man, all the wisdom that you have and that you point to the listeners and as well as myself. You're definitely going to be an asset that I plan on using. So thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you, sir. You enjoy yourself, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, sir. You have a great weekend.
You too. Stay blessed.
Once again, man, just another great call with Kenji, a brother with just a ton of wisdom and knowledge of finances, and I know that's something that has so many people stressed out right now, but what I found is the more and more you know and inform yourself on what's going on with your finances, the less of a stressor it becomes. So having a guy like Kenji, I hope we all are reaching out to him and really trying to tune into the wisdom that he has and that he's willing to pour into us and invest in us. The greatest investment you can invest is time, I believe. And he's willing to invest some time into us, and so we should be very eager to reach out to him to learn more information. So I'll end with a word of prayer because we're running out of time. Father God, thank you so much for this time today. Another chance to talk and to talk to our listeners, to talk with Mr. Kenji, and just to grow as individuals in wisdom and our mindset. We thank you for you, Father God. And just bless this time, bless this weekend, bless our safety as the country opens up. Help us to be smart. We love you. We are so grateful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed.